The book of Acts chapter 11, and I want you to look with me at verse, we begin reading at verse 19, Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. The Bible says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Let's pray. Father, please bless the preaching of thy word. I pray you'd help me to think clearly, speak plainly, simply. I pray you would strengthen my voice. You know that it's a little bit weak, a little scratchy. And I pray, God, that you would strengthen me, that I would be able to deliver the message that you've given me for this time. And I pray that people would take it to heart. I believe there's a message here that, Lord, that will help us in the upcoming year. And so I pray, Father, we'll take this seriously, take it to heart. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, there's something in the text that I've just read that ties right into the sermon that I preached on Wednesday night. If you were here, you realize that instead of continuing this past Wednesday night on the series of the Jews, I set that aside, probably just for that one Wednesday night. We'll probably get back on that series this coming Wednesday night. But I had a message I believe the Lord would have wanted me to preach on Wednesday night on the purposed heart. And there's something in this passage that I've just read that ties right in with that message on Wednesday night. It's kind of a follow-up on that message on the purposed heart. There's also something in our text that our Lord has laid on my heart for the sermon that I'm preaching here on this last service of 2023, the last service here of this year. Now, to introduce that something that our Lord has laid on my heart to preach this afternoon, I'm going to direct your attention to some passages of Scripture way back in the Old Testament, back in the books of Deuteronomy and in the book of Joshua. So I want you to go back to the books of Deuteronomy and Joshua. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy, first of all. I want you to find chapter 4. Chapter 4. Now, I hope that you can remember some of what I read there in Acts chapter 11. But as we read these passages out of Deuteronomy and out of the book of Joshua, as we read these passages of Scripture, I'm going to pause along the way at times, and I'll make a few comments. And as we read them and as I make these comments, I think that you should be able to pick up on what that something is that our Lord has put on my heart to stress in this last service of the year. Now, back here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. We look at this, and we find this, that Moses, he is fully aware that the time of his departure is at hand. He realizes that the time of his death, the hour of his death, is very drawing nigh. And he realizes that the nation that he has led for the last 40 years, remember how he led them out of Egypt, led them through the wilderness, and now as they're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, they're going to have a second opportunity to do that. They failed the first time because they did not believe they could. But he knows that they're about to be given a second chance to go in and possess the land, and that there's going to be a turnover in the leadership. And so he gathers the nation around, and he says some things to them. And let's read what Deuteronomy is about. Deuteronomy, it means the second, all right? And sometimes people call it the second giving of the law. In one sense it is, because it's a repetition of the law that he gave earlier, 40 years earlier, and some exposition of that law as well. But he's got them all together here, and he's saying some things to them. And the verses that I'm getting ready to read through and comment on, they contain an excerpt from the speech, or the speeches that Moses gave to the people at that time. Now, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says that Moses says to them, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I commanded you." Now notice verse 3. He says, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you." That's an amazing statement right there. When he talks about what happened to Baal Peor, we're not going to take time to read that account. But you go back and you find the story in Numbers chapter 25 of what happened there at Baal Peor. And what took place there was, the men at that time, they committed whoredom with the daughters of Moab, the pagan people. And the men basically started going with the pagan Moabite women. The women lured them and enticed them to begin sacrificing to their gods and bowing down to their gods. And so what happened there was that they committed literally physical and spiritual adultery. And that's what he's talking about when he says, "I want you to remember, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor." And so there they were. He reminds them of that physical and that spiritual adultery that they were guilty of. And if you would read that story, here's what you would find. That as a result of that, the Lord sent a plague among them, and 24,000 people died. 24,000 people died. Now, I want you to notice verse 4. I never realized this until ever I got to study and prepare for this message. But it says this, "But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day." That's an amazing statement. Because I want you to think about this. Baal Peor took place, years after their failure at Kadesh Barnea. Now you read about their failure at Kadesh Barnea in Numbers chapter 14. Again, we're not going to go back there. You might just want to write these references down. But what happened at Kadesh Barnea is this. Moses led the people up right to the borders of the Promised Land. And you know the story of how Moses sent the spies in. 12 spies, they came back. The little chorus goes, 10 were bad, 2 were good. And the majority of the spies, the 10 said, "We can't do it." The majority of 2 said that they could. And because the people did not believe God, but they believed the report of the spies instead. Because of that, we find that the Lord said, "All right, here's what's going to happen. You're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Spies were in there for 40 days. And so now I'm going to make you wander in the wilderness for 40 days. And all the men, I believe it was from 20 years old and up, all those men, all of them are going to die. Because they were the ones that were responsible for making the decision of not going in." So, I know this, that all of that crowd that were at Kadesh Barnea, that all of them would have died anyway. But it's interesting here in verse 4, he says, "But ye that did cleave unto the Lord," that is at Baal Peor, he says, "Your God did cleave unto the Lord your God, are alive, every one of you this day." Otherwise, here's what it means. It means the people that were guilty of that spiritual and physical adultery at Baal Peor, they were not a part of that unbelieving crowd that refused to go in at Kadesh Barnea. They were among the younger people that would have gone in if they had not committed the spiritual and physical adultery at Baal Peor. That's interesting. The failure at Kadesh Barnea, according to Dr. Reese's dating system, which you know I usually lean heavily upon, but that took place in 1461 B.C. But their physical and spiritual adultery whoredoms at Baal Peor and Moab, it occurred around 1423 B.C., which would have been around 38 years later. Now think about this. They were a part of that generation, the younger generation, that did not take part in the decision of unbelief not to go in Canaan at Kadesh Barnea. So they could have gone in. For 38 years, they're doing good. They're cleaving to the Lord. They're following the Lord. They're almost at the point where they're going to get that second chance to go in. 38 years. But then, lo and behold, they end up committing that physical and spiritual adultery at Baal Peor. And so 24,000 men that could have gone in, if they just held out a little longer, if they just remained true to the Lord a little bit longer, 24,000 men ended up dying instead. Never hit me before that that was the crowd that died there. I always just kind of assumed it was the older guys that wouldn't have gone in anyway. But 24,000 men died that almost made it, but after 38 years, they ceased to cleave unto the Lord. Because he says in verse 4, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord. Otherwise, the 24,000 that died, they ceased cleaving to the Lord just before getting a chance to go into the promised land. Isn't that a tragedy? My, what a tragedy. Now, I want you to look here. He says they didn't go in because they didn't cleave to the Lord. Ye that did cleave to the Lord, your God, you're alive, every one of you, to this day, he says. Now, what is it? What does it mean to cleave unto the Lord? What does it mean? They cleave to the Lord. What does it mean? Well, I believe if you take it and you study it in its context here, that you realize this, that cleaving unto the Lord means to adhere precisely to the Word of the Lord. Now, notice what I say. Look back at verses 1 and 2. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the what? The statutes and to the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish all from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. And then shortly after that he talks about cleaving to the Lord. And then we go on after verse 4, we look at verses 5 and 6. He says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded you, that ye should do so in the land when ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, what? The statutes and the judgments. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So to cleave to the Lord obviously means this, that you're going to follow the Word of God. Not just in a kind of, you know, a cafeteria style thing where you go in and say, well, I like this and I'll do this, I don't like that, so I won't take that. No, you're going to follow it precisely. All the statutes, all the precepts, all the commandments. That is cleaving to the Lord. You mark this down. Your cleaving to the Lord is no stronger than your cleaving to the book. That's what it is. This is His Word. And if I'm going to cleave to Him, that means I'm going to cleave to His Word. I'm going to hold His Word dear and precious. I'm going to seek to avoid it. And so that's the idea of cleaving to the Lord. Now, notice, remember, he says, ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God, you're alive. And those who did not cleave to the Lord, they died. 24,000 of them almost made it, but they quit cleaving to the Lord just short of going to the land of Canaan. Now, I want you to follow with me in your Bibles as I read some other portions of Scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. Remember, Deuteronomy, as Moses speaking to the people that are going to have a second chance now to go in and take the promised land. Moses giving it to him as he realized, I'm getting ready to die and leave these people. New leaders going to come in and so forth there. But I want you to listen to some other things, some excerpts from the things that Moses said to the nation shortly before his death, and see if you don't pick up on this theme that's running through it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, look at verse 20. Speaking to the same group of people as he was back there in Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 4. He says this in chapter 10 and verse 20. He says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou" what? "Shalt thou cleave and swear by his name." Cleave, cleave, cleave. All right, look at chapter 11. Chapter 11. And here we see he's speaking to the same group of people. And he keeps bringing this thing up over and over and over. Look at chapter verse 22. He says, "For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to" what? "Cleave unto him. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves." Now notice again, he says you're cleave unto the Lord. And notice again the emphasis in verse 22 about diligently keeping all the commandments of God. Following the Word of God precisely as best you understand it. You want to do what God says. That's what amounts to cleaving to the Lord. Alright, now, go over to chapter 13. Chapter 13. And let's begin reading at verse 1. And it says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and give it thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them." Isn't that interesting? He says somebody's going to come in, and they're going to do some kind of miracle. And they're going to say, use that miracle as evidence you ought to follow some other god. He says, "Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Reminds me of what the Lord said to the young man that came to him, which is the greatest commandment of the law. He said, "Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul," and so forth there. And here we find that loving the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all our soul, it means this, that we're not going to be led astray by miracle-working prophets of false gods. Amen? And then he says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice and shall serve him and" what? "Cleave unto him. And that prophet, that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to you to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage," and so forth there. Now notice again, he says you need to cleave to the Lord. Don't follow these false gods. That's what they did at Baal Peor. They were following false gods. And then notice also back in that fourth verse, what does it mean to cleave to the Lord? You walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Again, it is adhering precisely to the Word of God. All right, now, let's go to chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses again speaking to the people. And I want you to look at verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be thrown away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, just like those 24,000 did at Baal Peor, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest" what? "Cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the living."